If you've got your Bibles this morning, I encourage you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. We're continuing through this. I just to share with you, I am getting sick and tired of the book of Philippians. I don't know if you are. What's hard for me about the book of Philippians is as I'm preaching through it, I have to live it. You hear it? Anybody understand what I'm talking about? You've watched some of that very publicly. If you recall, in August, I stood up here, and I believe we were in Philippians 2. I didn't go back and look at it, but I made the statement as I was preaching that I have never lost anybody close to me in my life, like my mother or my father or sister or something of that nature. And that very week, my mother died of a heart attack. And I mean, so I make that statement on Sunday. So guess what has to happen during the week? Is the Lord good? Oh, one. Is the Lord good? I mean, I was grateful because the Lord had walked me through those things beforehand and I was thinking through those things. Believe me, I was not wishing to lose my mother. But He's good. All right. And so as we go through these things, we get to live them out. We get to see them taking place. And as most of you know, I am not particularly what you would call an anxious person. I go to bed and my eyes close and I'm out for about 6 hours. And that's just my general routine. All right. Not much keeps me up at night. Except when I'm preaching on do not be anxious. I have had probably more sleepless nights over the last 3 weeks than I've probably had in the last 5 years. Isn't it amazing how the Lord does that? And lets you walk through and do those things that you're studying in God's Word. And so it's been within my life. And some of those issues and some of the things that we've talked about, the Lord has just been taking me through some of the very same things. And I have done them before. It's just not normally quite as regular as it's been over the last 3 weeks. And God's good as He helps us through these things. So I hope what's taking place will be helpful to you today as we walk through God's Word and we continue through it. Last week, as we looked through verses 6 and 7 in our text, we'll read them here in just a moment. Sunday night, the question came to me concerning medications and things like that. I didn't address that Sunday morning, and as I got asked, I wished that I had. Most of you have heard me, or many of you have heard me talk along these lines. I'm not a doctor. I don't make the decision and the call about your medicine. And here I'm not asking you to get off of medicine or anything of that nature. That's not what my deal is. But I do understand that medication sometimes do make some differences in what it does to you. For me, I remember as a kid, I was about 13 or 14 years old. I was put on asthma medication and I didn't go to sleep for 3 days. I was wired like you wouldn't believe. And anxious medication-wise for 3 days. I still remember that. It was miserable. They had, if mom and dad wanted me to take that pill again, they were going to have to pry my mouth open and stuff it down my gullet. All right? They didn't. Thank you. And, I mean, it's miserable. All right, so sometimes that some of those things are medication-induced or some health issues and things like that. So consult doctors. I'm willing to talk to you about those things one-on-one, but not to make just a pronouncement outward. We have doctors for reasons, all right? So just put that out there as before we get into that. I couldn't figure out a good way to make an introduction with that, so that's how you get it. But let's look at our text this morning. Hopefully we'll look at the text this morning. We're going to look primarily at verse 8 of our text, but we'll read the whole thing and put it in context and do a little bit of review because there's some of you that have not been here throughout the entire message, so I'm going to cram in 2 in 5 minutes. You know that's not true. All right, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. The Lord's by the Apostle Paul, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And he continues on and he says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. You hear his word? We walk through this and we rejoice in the Lord always. Folks, this is not a our attitude. Sometimes we do not feel joyful, but that we practice joyfulness. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. It is not because of how that you feel. If you heard David in the scripture this morning in Psalms 51, he was going through how he felt, and he felt like he had been left behind by God. But what did he do? He turned and he remembered what God has done in the past, and he expressed that to the Lord as he prayed to the Lord, and he rejoiced in the Lord. You see, it's that action of being obedient regardless of what our feelings are. One of the things that happens is sometimes, I don't know about you, I shared this Sunday night or Wednesday night, is sometimes I just don't feel like being happy. Sometimes I feel like being a grump. All right? And what do you do? I shared Wednesday, I think it was Wednesday, maybe it was Sunday night, but I was just extremely hungry. Most of you know I'm a diabetic. When I get hungry, I get grumpy, and I can make the choice of what I'm going to do with that. And I do. And in my mind, I have to sit there and I have to contemplate, am I going to be obedient or am I going to be disobedient? It is a choice. Physically, everything about me wants to be a bear. But do I have to? I can choose and rejoice in the Lord. I can be reasonable and not dependent on my emotions, but on the what who the Lord is and what he says to do. Rejoicing in the Lord. That's what you see here, is it's rejoicing not in the circumstances, but in the Lord that is the Lord over the circumstances. Amen. He really is. I'll put the scripture back up there for you. The object is that we are worshiping and serving Jesus, and that is who that we rejoice in. Then you notice what it says. It moves on. It says, then let your reasonableness be known. To who? Those people that aren't ticking you off. Isn't that what it says? Huh? No, it says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. You make the decision and you do it within your life. Now, folks, you're sitting here going, well, I've tried. We're going to get to it, all right? The text deals with it this week. But let it be known to all. All right, Scripture tells us a fool gives full vent to his spirit in Proverbs 29:11. But a wise man quietly holds it back. Folks, you want to see the picture of a fool? It's somebody blowing up. I know the world says, you know what, you just got to let it out. And guys, believe me, that verse has fit me before. All right? And everybody in my family says, amen. I probably got it there. All right? David's laughing at me. All right? He's my son. He gets it. It's a picture of a fool that you give it full vent. All right? So, let your reasonableness be known, not your anger, not your foolishness, because the Lord is at hand. Folks, as you take and you respond that way in an ungodly way, as you're not letting your reasonableness be known, you are doing it in the presence of the Lord. Amen. He is there. He is with you as believers. He indwells within us, and you are taking Him right in the middle of it. Let your reasonableness be known, because the Lord is at hand. And then He says, do not be anxious about anything. Have you ever heard of anything so crazy? Don't be anxious. Don't be worried about anything. You say, preacher, that's just absolutely ridiculous. Yes, it is, because you and I are human beings and we tend to want to worry. Yet the command is still in Scripture not to be anxious about anything. Because you understand, though, why is it that the Scripture calls us not to be anxious about anything? It is because we are truly not trusting the Lord in the midst of what is taking place within our life. You say, preacher, I don't think so. Well, let me tell you, that's what it is. Because who controls it all? The Lord does. He really does. Is He all powerful? Is He almighty? Is He all knowing? He can do, there is nothing that He cannot do. He is able to take care of those that would stand against those that are believers and has vengeance on them forever and forever and forever. Believe me, He can take care of your problem, and He will. You can trust God. So there's no reason to be anxious about everything. And as you walk through that, we pray about everything. You remember last week we said that whenever you get anxious, what is that a reminder of? It is the ding, 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 ding bell that goes off in your head that says, pray. Right? It ought to be sounding loud whenever you start getting that anxiousness about you, and your heart rate may go up, but you may be staying up at night and going through all of these things. It is, the answer is to pray. I had a friend of mine this week, he told me, he said, you know what? I get up and I have these nights like this, and I'm going through, and we'll look at it in a little bit, going through the Scripture and things like that, and then I get anxious about being anxious. Folks, whenever it turns to prayer, guess what has happened? You may still have the feelings of the anxiousness that is taking place, but you are obeying God's Word and praying instead of being anxious. Do you hear me? It is obedience that is taking place there. You say, I don't feel like it. What do we say? The obedience is not necessarily built on your feelings. It is on being obedient in the midst as you pray about everything with thanksgiving. You have a thankful heart. As you go through His Word, as you deal with these issues, because what? You turn your heart to thanking the Lord. And then what's He say? He says, then there's a peace that passes understanding that will guard your hearts. Because you're trusting in the Lord, you're thanking in the Lord, you're grateful to the Lord. And then as that is taking place, there is a peace that comes over because you are trusting God. And the peace passes understanding. And then our text today we look at is in verse 8. Finally, brothers, and it's about your thinking. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. You hear what the Lord says? Think. You know what is a missing art in the United States of America? Thinking. Taking time and evaluating how we think. We say, well, my mind just goes, and guess what? I follow it. I'm here to tell you, that's going to get you in trouble. Your mind will go in directions you do not want your mind to go. You take your thoughts captive. You say, preacher, I tried. I sat down and I said, Lord, I don't want to think this way anymore. And guess what I did? 3 seconds later, I thought that way. It doesn't work. It's hard work. It takes time. You must think correctly. We see it illustrated out. Hopefully I've got, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. We used this in our Bible study the other day. I spoke of it a little bit, but wasn't quite as prepared as I should have been. I wasn't teaching at that time. But we see this passage that Paul puts in about the new thinking. And what he describes this as putting off and putting on is what it's oftentimes called. It says, you put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. So you hear that? Those things that are sinful within your life, you put them off. All right? Now, I'm going to forget the guy's name. Never mind, we'll just go on. All right. You didn't need to hear that illustration. I'll show it on a Wednesday night next week. All right, you'll like it. Bob Newhart. Yeah, that's who it is. Don't you love your brains? Whenever you need it to think, it won't think. And when you don't want it to think what it's thinking, it'll keep going. All right? Y'all remember Bob Newhart, the television psychiatrist or psychologist or whatever he played? And he's got a video. I'll show it on Wednesday night or something like that. But this, he's sitting in, and it's just a five-minute clip. It wasn't off of his show, but he was sitting in the office behind his desk, and he has got a sign outside. He says, I will fix any of your problems in 5 minutes or less for $15. And, I mean, I love it. And this lady, she walks in, and she says, I'm just having trouble sleeping at night. And he says, well, first I need your $15. She hands him the $15 and says, can you really take care of this in 5 minutes? Yeah, I can. And she says, okay. She says, well, I have this problem sleeping at night, and I just keep thinking about these things. And Bob Newhart says, well, stop thinking about those things. That's easy. And then he goes on, well, I've got these issues with my parents and all this stuff that's taking place. And I think there's something that happened to me in the womb or whatever it was. And I just keep thinking about these things. Well, stop it. And he moves on and about 4 or 5 of these different things. And she gets kind of upset, says, well, you haven't helped me a bit. And he really hadn't. And he's about 2 minutes into the session. And so she says, I want to start on some other things. And she goes, and he goes, we're just not going to go there with that. But the picture is that so many times we think within our life, if we just think that we can just stop it, it'll stop. It's what the world thinks. It is just that willpower of overcoming where we are in life. But the scripture here says you put off those things, and what do? And be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So you see, you put it off. And you put off the sin and you replace it with righteousness. You put on the new man. Stepping away from those things that are old of the flesh. One of the things that I have used for years, I was exposed to it 7 or 8 years ago, is this, hopefully it's going to come up. Is that picture not come up? Never mind. All right. So this book is what I had was the cover of it. And it's called Transformed into His Likeness, a handbook for putting off sin and putting on righteousness. All right, I've got about 6 copies of it, all right? I put it on Facebook this morning at Christian Bookstore. It's $7.99, all right? It's a pretty cheap resource, and it's one that I have used for, several years. And it really walks us through this process of putting on and putting off in the Christian life. All right. The first thing that it does is it's helping you try to think correctly by changing your thinking. All right. So this is the easiest part of the sermon. All right. I cut and paste and stole. All right. That's what the rest of this is. But it just is so helpful, or at least it has been, is you identify what the problem is or the sin is within your life. This book, it's just pretty simple. It has got different issues that you'll deal with in your life, all right? And you see what the issue is and what you're trying to put off, the sin, and what you want to replace it with. It gives you a godly issue to replace it with, and then Scripture to help you support doing that. All right, let me just give you an example. The first one is anger, being angry and temperamental, all right? We will not have raising of hands for those of you this fits. Aren't you grateful? All right. Anxiety, worry. We're going to walk through that. Bitterness, resentment. I will not read all 115 of them. Doubting God, a wavering faith. Easily offended or irritated. Fear of death. Gluttony, overeating. I'm certainly not going to look at that one today. Guilty conscience, judgment of others, lack of joy, love of money, and on, issues that 115 of them, I believe in this book, that each and every one of us deal with in the Christian life, many of them in different ways, one way or another. But as we walk through this, what we're going to do is we're going to look and go through the example that this book gives. It gives an example of working through an issue, and this issue is anxiety or worry. It's very interesting. That's what I was talking to you about that I've been having an issue with for 3 weeks. The audacity of the Lord to put that illustration in there that I'm going to use with you. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. But we walk through it and we see and identify what the issue is, and most of us have had that issue of anxiety or worry about something, all right? And this book, it takes you through and it gives you the Scripture which speaks to the problem or the issue that is taking place. The Scripture that it gives you within this workbook for this are two. One is out of Matthew 6, 25 and 26. Very familiar passage of Scripture. If you're anxious, if you're worried about things of life, watch Jesus say. He says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So passage of Scripture dealing with anxiousness and worry, concerned about being able to provide for the needs within your life. Most of us at some point or another have been to that point within our lives. And Jesus addresses it and he says, why are you worried about that? All right. Another text, very interesting. The text, I guess I hit the wrong button. Maybe not. There it is. The other text it recommends is the very text we're looking at today. And he starts in chapter 6. I would have gone up to chapter 4, but I'll give you a break and read what he said. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things, and what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So you look at the scripture, it's very simple and plainly laid out. You do have to look them up, all right? And then you look at what you have learned, the insights that you have about these scriptures and the sin issue that you have within your life. First thing, what are these scriptures teaching in them? What observations, what things can you glean from these scriptures to help you? Ask God to make these things clear to you. Now, he illustrates it by asking, what are these things, what are these teaching you? So, think about it. What do you see in these? Within the first one, as Jesus is talking about clothing the flowers and all of those different things, what's he doing? He is encouraging us that the Lord is going to take care of our needs. And it is not anything that we have to worry about or be anxious about within this life. You get that? He takes care of the flowers. He takes care of all these things. He says, why would you be anxious about these things? So does that mean that you sit around and you eat bonbons and God's going to supply your needs? Is that what it is? This means no. All right? Yeah. All right? No. What? It says if you don't work in the scriptures, you don't eat. All right? So pretty plain picture. But that you are not being anxious about these things as you are doing what is necessary to provide for your family. You're doing what you possibly can, and you are not anxious about these things. We see that instead of worrying, what are we supposed to do as you look in this text? Remember we said, ding, 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 ding. You see in the text about in Philippians is that we are to pray with thanksgiving rather than being anxious or worrying about things within life. We are also, it closes out, and the text that we're looking at is in that verse 8 today, is that we don't let our mind dwell on things that are not true. So when you start thinking these things that are simply not true, is that, you know what, I'm not going to be able to take care of this, or I can't do this, or what? You change from what's untrue to what's true, because who is your strength and who is your control, and you think correctly. And you think on those things of what God says is true, and He'll give you peace. Does it happen when you do it just once? Let me give you personal testimony. It takes time. Because what are you doing? You are retraining, you are reteaching your heart and your mind. So you realize those things and you put off those things. How have I failed to do what the Lord teaches me about not being anxious, about trusting Him? Give those examples of how you failed to live the truths of these scriptures. What? Putting off these old self. Then reflect and think about these things. What's the root of it? What's going on in my heart as I'm anxious, as I am worried about these things? Outwardly, oftentimes, it's really easy to see as it is demonstrated. But they're so easy, but it's what's at the heart of it? What are you lusting for? What are you desiring? What is your obsession? What is the legitimate desires that you have and the wrong motives that you have, the bad attitudes, the destructive patterns of thinking? And identify those things to put off. What's ruling your heart, your cravings? What are you expecting? What are you taking pleasure in? What are you trusting in? What do you want that you're not getting? What am I getting that I do not want? How am I, why, and how and why am I responding to what I'm getting or what I'm not getting? What am I fearing? What am I worried about? Maybe some of you, you have this statement and you completed, if only, then I would be happy and fulfilled. I mean, whenever it's about money, what? You know what? If I could just make another 10 grand, I'd be happy. Or another 50 grand, maybe. Or maybe it's you 100. I don't know what it is. Or what? If so-and-so would do this, then I would be happy. Or if this would take place, I would be happy. Folks, I'm here to tell you, you cannot control those things. You can control your heart by the help of the Lord. The workbook illustrates it this way. When you go to bed at night and you're unable to fall asleep and you lie there thinking about a financial situation and how you'll make ends meet. Or maybe you wake up at night and then you can't fall back asleep because you start thinking about the cares of the next day. Your heart starts beating fast and you worry that something's physically wrong. And you just believe in this instance that money will bring you peace and security. Anybody been there? So you put on. What changes do I need to make? Look at those things on here, the put-on list. What do you need to do? Anxiety, you need to learn to trust in God's sovereignty and in His fatherly care. You need to pray. You need to remember that you need to put off this anxiousness and this worry, and you need to put on trusting in the Lord and learning to pray even more within your life. What new way of behaving needs to take place, of acting, of reacting, and thinking must take place to practice the power of the Holy Spirit within our lives? Then make a plan to change. How will I make these changes? And what's my specific plan? And there's worksheets in here to be able to help you do that. But when you make a plan that's specific of how to change. It's important for you to be specific. Don't be vague. Don't be general. Specifically plan how you will go about making these changes. So what? You've thought through, this is how I sinfully react in these things. So with this passage of Scripture and with this issue of anxiety and worry, what they recommend is that you memorize this passage that we're looking at today in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. All right? So you memorize that. It becomes a part of your heart. You begin to, the Word of God says, to meditate on the Word. All right? That's three verses. I know it's hard to memorize, but guess what? If this 50-year-old man can memorize something, so can you. All right? You can. But this is an illustration for them. Then he says, on this list of things that I'm going to do to replace, I'm going to transfer my worry list to what? To my prayer list. It's ungodly to worry, but it is godly to pray. You hear me? All right? So, you say, well, I'm awful anxious. It's keeping me up all night. Guess what? If you get to stay up all night praying about what you used to be worried about, it's okay. Amen? Amen. Pray about it. Take it to the Lord. Make a list of ways that God is providing for my family and all the special ways He has blessed us. You do that. Many of you have heard me say, you know what, whenever you're discouraged, make a list of those things of how God has blessed you and keep it in your purse and keep it in your wallet. And when you start getting discouraged, take it out. Because you know what, whenever you're in that position, you will not think of those things to praise God. And you can open up that sheet of paper and you can look at it and you can read, you know what, God took care of me this time and He took care of me this time and He has blessed me this way and He has blessed me this way. And what do? You turn your heart to rejoicing and thankfulness rather than the discouragement and the despair and the anxiousness. It says, when I have a hard time falling asleep, I will discipline my mind to dwell on the truths of Philippians 4, 6 through 9. I will pray for God to fill me with His peace and to help me sleep. Man. And they give us an example. And this is the individual thinking through this. Is it true that God has kept my family safe this far? I will do the right thing, even if it means financial hardship. I will think only pure thoughts about what, and this is that person who has hurt me. Then I'll share with others how God has blessed me in the special ways that He's taken care of me. And then one of the other action points is, guess what? I'm going to come back and I'm going to look at all these things that I've written out that I'm going to do when I'm worried, and I forget. And it's taking and leaving off that sin of anxiety and of worry or whatever it is. If it's, I'm looking here, it's careless talk or complaining or whining or griping. And those things that are unrighteous and ungodly and sinful, and putting on the right thing and having a plan to deal with it within your life. Folks, I'm here to tell you, it's real stuff. Friday night, I'm up at Highland Lakes Camp. Michaela had a friend to go up there. We took her up there and dropped her off, and they were gracious enough to let us have a cabin and stay the night, and we didn't have to drive back that night and got to have a bonfire and all that fun stuff. And I'm on the guy's side of the dormitory, and I lay down 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night, and we have one of those glorious sunlight lights that is an exit sign. You ever seen one? It's green letters and the brightest white light you have ever seen. And every bit of that light was right here. Debbie and I had some things, nothing to do with church, just to come up and just concerns and things of that nature, nothing to concern you with, all right? But it's just eating me. Now, I can blame it on the light because it was irritating and driving me nuts. They're very fortunate at Highland Lakes. They don't have to replace a light today. All right? Just kidding. But I'm sitting there and I'm going through this and I'm upset about these things and I'm going through this. And guess what? David's in the bathroom listening to a basketball game on his phone. Can you imagine that? Or he's watching it. He's got one of them phones he can watch the ball game. All right? Doesn't he have a hard life? But I could hear a little bit of it and really didn't care about the game, but was hearing that. And he came in about 12:30 or 1, and I'm still awake. And I'm tossing and I'm turning and I'm going through this thing. He lays down and he finally settles down in his bed and it's not creaking anymore. And it's about 2:30. Klein, do you know what you're preaching on Sunday? And I start just thinking through it, rejoicing in the Lord always. Lord, I don't want to. And I didn't. And you know what? I couldn't remember any of the rest of the text. All I could get to is rejoice in the Lord always. And about 2:30, I woke up. I didn't even have a Bible there, but of course I've got an electronic thing that's got a Bible on it. So I go into the little room and I pull it up and I read the text. Start reading through that and praying through it. And I go to bed and I'm still wrestling. 3:30, I get up and say, well, you know what? I can't go to sleep. I might as well finish up the sermon. Start working on it and going through it. And I've got it about two-thirds of the way at 6 o'clock. David has an alarm set to go off at 7 or 7:15. Maybe I can go get an hour's sleep. And I go and I lay down and I pass out for the hour until the breakfast alarm goes off. And I go and eat breakfast. But through that time period, as I'm going back and forth with His Word, and I'm like, Lord, I need Your help. I'm anxious. I'm uptight. I'm upset. This stuff hadn't gone the way that I want it to, and I'm not sure it will, and on and on and on and on. Now, folks, you'd hear the deal, and you go, well, what's the big deal? All right? It's what was happening. When you get anxious, you get anxious. And it was that battle, and started praying through these things. Lord, I'm going to rejoice in you. You tell me to. You tell me to be reasonable. And as I'm sitting there thinking about that, I'm saying, you want me to be reasonable tomorrow on an hour's sleep? Just walking through that. And the Lord's at hand. Don't be anxious, but in everything in prayer. You mean through this I'm supposed to be praying about the issue? You take it to Him and you work through it. And a peace of God that passes understanding. Folks, I slept well last night. I suspect tonight I'm going to have to live this thing out again. I don't know. But it's real. And I suspect anybody that's lived through this life very long has been through it themselves. And it's real as you do the battle through your life because God is in control. Because God is in control. And I'm crazy enough to trust Him. Or try to. It's by His grace and by His love and by His mercy that we trust Him. And keep changing the heart. Folks, I've had those things that I've gone through on this list. And you know what? By and large in my life, I've had some victory over those things. But as I start getting to the point that think that that's not an issue and I can depend on me, guess what happens? That thing rears its ugly, nasty head again. And I have to go back and deal with it again because of my pride and because of my arrogance. And I have to be broken before the Lord again. It's part of the Christian life. We are to strive against sin and deal with it in our lives. Change our thinking. And you know what? Changing thinking is a battle. And it's hard. Anybody tells you it's easy, they ain't never done it before. But it is a battle well worth it. Pray for your pastor. He's obviously in the midst of it. Going through it in his life. Pray for others that are in it. Get help, encouragement as you deal with the issues of anxiousness. We'll look at one more week on this next week. I don't know if I'm ready for it next week, but we'll see. And deal with it in our own hearts again. Are you anxious? Scripture says don't be. But it just doesn't say stop it. Scripture tells us how. You say, preacher, I don't even get it after all you said. Come get some help. Be glad to walk through it with you. In your life. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior. I'm here to tell you everything we just said to you is Greek. You don't understand it. You don't get it. Because the Spirit of God is not within your life apart from Christ. He does come in and He changes your life. And if you don't know Him, this stuff doesn't work. This is by being filled by His Spirit and depending on Him. And maybe today you need to confess your sin and come and accept Christ as your Savior and what He did on the cross for you 2,000 years ago as He shed His blood and as He died for you.